you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Oh, wait, hold on. There it is. Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. A little bit of difficulty with the cue cards there. I never know what to do. I start this stream a couple of minutes early so that, you know, the video's going. Give a little promo to the whatever the show is that's on before me, which is The Mix Sessions. But this is St. John Forward Radio. I'm live on local 107.3 FM if you're in the St. John area. Also live on Facebook, John Forward Comedy, on John Forward Comedy, my YouTube channel. And if you're not seeing it live, you might be missing out, because the various live streams, they're very big on copyright infringement. So I'm pretty sure everything works pretty normal if you're watching it live. But after the fact, Facebook and YouTube, more so Facebook. Facebook will just cut stuff out. So if you're watching this, and there's whole extended sessions of muted, no music, when I should be playing music, that would be why. But the uncut episode is always in audio form at johnforward.podbean.com. You can catch up on the whole back catalog. I've got stuff on, if you're a John Forward diehard fan out there, I was podcasting before it was cool. If you go back in the feed, H to the C, my old podcast I used to do, we started doing that in 2011, so there's quite the back catalog. Is there thousands of episodes? I don't know about that. Maybe 1,000. I think I got a notification in Podbean congratulating me on, like, 1,000 episodes. I have no idea. There's a lot of stuff going back 10 years. Only more recently, video stuff. But anyway, I am a comedian in St. John, New Brunswick, and I don't talk about comedy a whole lot on this podcast. Mostly just because lately I've been doing a lot of these shows solo. Partially COVID, sort of, mostly laziness and just not asking people to do it. So if you have anything of interest to talk about, whatever topic, I like having conversations, hit me up. We'll have you on the show. If you know anybody that you think might be a good mix on here, especially somebody that disagrees with me on things, that somebody reasonable that I can have a conversation with, that would be fun. But this week, we've just got little old John Forward. Last week, pre-recorded episode with my good pal, the Reverend Brian Giles. We pre-recorded that at my home on, last Sunday, pre-air, just cause he had to, head back to America. And that was a fun conversation. I meant to have the conversation more geared towards, you know, this was his big coming back to comedy. We ended up talking about COVID stuff a whole bunch, which that's fine with. I just never know if anybody's getting tired of that. I've been talking about that a whole lot, but I don't know. I see stuff on the internet. I'm plugged in. But I don't know, this is just, it's something I find interesting, and it's something that I can talk a lot about, especially if I'm doing a solo show. Whether anybody out there likes listening to it, I don't know. I hear a little bit of feedback in person every now and then. Somebody will tell me that they enjoyed a particular episode, but, if you want me to know, hit me up in the comments. I should be able to see them in the studio here, and even even put them up on the screen, but I was under the impression that I could see comments from my personal Facebook, my comedy page, and the YouTube. I have had people comment, and unfortunately, I did not see them live. I see them after the fact, but anyway, comment whatever you like. As a stand-up comedian, there's been, I wish we were in a post-COVID world. Not really. Comedy stuff is happening more often. I'm able to get more stage time, mostly only in St. John, which is fine because there's been three different shows that have there's some overlap, but there's some different audiences. So it's, I like to do some new stuff every now and then. I haven't written much a whole lot lately, mostly just when I'm doing a pre-written bit, I'll kind of look it over and I'll refine it and add and subtract to it, but not a whole lot of brand new stuff coming out of me. I need to change that. I've got one thing that I kind of worked on a little while ago. I haven't really run it through. It might be a long thing. That might be a full-blown one-man show, the idea that I had, so I may need to I've got it all kind of laid out, the arc of this this thing that I want to do. I haven't done it. You know, I usually practice these things in my basement by myself. I don't know how long it is. So it on paper, it seems like it's a long thing. So I don't know if it's appropriate for like a quick open mic comedy set. I might need to figure out how to split it up into pieces and then combine them into a whole like a transformer. But anyway, you guys can look forward to this vague allusions to newish things that may or may not be funny that I'm talking about. But, yeah, I've had some stuff going on. No Jokes Barred was prior to last week's episode. So, Brian Giles popped in, after his set at Punchlines. He did a, inebriated post end of the show overtime. I think we went for like 3 hours, which is excessive, but, people were hanging out and there was, we got through the primary part of the show, went 2 hours and Brian was there and, Kive and Arif, who weren't officially on the lineup. And, you know, we had a couple of audience members that, that seemed game. So, might as well keep it rolling. The bar was going to be open until 1 o'clock, so extra hour of content to keep people in their seats. I like to give back to the community like that. I don't remember if we talked about this much on last week's episode. There was a young couple that was a bit snippy with me at the last No Jokes Barred show. Other people were much more upset about that than I was. I didn't feel like it was out of line. It was a struggle. A couple of bits I kind of fell apart on me because they kept, chiming. They were participating, and I addressed them directly, so I don't know. They forced me to change up the structure of one of the bits that I was working on because they kept kind of asking questions, which led to a bit, like a part of the bit that was going to come later. So I kind of skipped right to it, which threw off the kind of the whole thing. And, these were young, hip people. So some of my old man nonsense just didn't fly for them. And that's fine. I don't think they interrupted anybody else too much. They did, between the two of them, put $3 in the donation bin, which they said, we're broke. And earlier on in the evening, like, they were settling up their bills. I thought that they were leaving. So I gave them a bit of grief about it. And they're like, we just don't have any money. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then, I went around. They were going to hang out and watch the show. Got $3. And then they ordered more stuff later. Anyway. I'll take your $3, but I was a little bit disappointed in that since the... anyway, so another thing. So there's been my show. I did a show at the Five and Dime this past Wednesday, which is always a delight. I enjoy doing that show. you know, it goes up and down, but there's been many a times where I've been a little bit jealous of the old Five and Dime show that Austin Hill and Dan Terrio are putting on. It's quite often a banger. Lots of people out. I'm pretty sure there was more people out to that show on a Wednesday night than there was for my show on a Saturday night. So, again, my show was competing also with Punchlines. I'm not sure how many people would have gone to mine instead, but Five and Dime is good fun. I believe it's usually the third Wednesday of the month or something like that, so it usually lands like the week before or the week after No Jokes Barred. So that's fun to kind of have that opportunity to try something on one show and then do a similar thing if I want to turn it over and work on it at the other one in short order afterwards for different people. The comedians are the same, and some of the you know, there's some regulars that go to lots of different things. That's appreciated. But, you know, there's the randos that are there. We've got a different mix of randos at all the different shows. Chanel Frere, who's was putting on shows every 2 weeks for the last couple of months at Port City Pub. I don't remember what it's called. It's on Union Street. It's across from the Bingo Hall. That was fun, and it was bi-weekly. I only did it twice, I think. Should have done it more times. It was fun both times that I went there, and she was going to move it to the R Bar, which is the old No Jokes Barred stomping ground. Some people were like, "Oh my gosh, she's taking over your." I'm like, "I don't care. I got kicked out of the R Bar fair and square like 3 years ago, and I do miss it. I am happy with the new home at McGill's. I was looking forward to being able to perform at the R Bar again and not being responsible for the actual show. That would have been fun, but that was supposed to happen this past weekend, and it was canceled under mysterious circumstances. I've seen some tidbits here and there. I'm not really sure the full story. Don't know if I want to ask, but you know, maybe that's something. I don't know. Maybe I could reach out to Chanel. Maybe she wants to talk about it on the show. What else do I got coming up? I've aside from St. John, I'm actually looking forward to my first out of town show in a little while. I'm gonna be doing Kelly Lamrock. He's a politician, so you know, I'm biased against him. He's a former politician, so we'll let it slide. He's starting up a new show at Maybe's, I think is called, in Fredericton. I don't know where that is. I'm gonna find it. That's on November 10th, and yeah, I'll probably, assuming Blaine Higgs allows it, I'll head up there, and my dear daddy, he lives up in Fredericton, so November 11th, I'll have the day off work, so I might stay in Fredericton for the night and visit with my dad, have some drinks. Anyway, so that's coming up. Still nothing on the docket from Moncton. I am not welcome on those shows, and it's disappointing, but it is what it is. If you're in Moncton, I've had a few people say, "Hey, we're going to be doing this thing, and we would love to have you." It never seems to pan out, though. But anyway, another sort of comedy. It's comedy related. It's not stand up comedy. A couple hours after Mr. Brian Giles left my recording studio for last week's episode, I filmed my one and pivotal scene in the upcoming Larry Strange Paranormal Investigator movie, I think. This was originally going to be like episode one of a series. I'm not really sure what the long-term plan is, but it's a self-contained story from, you know, the people that made Hoveland and Hard Times. If you didn't like the kind of political stuff that was in Hard Times, This one I don't believe has much of that. So if that's a thing for you, this one's just a fun lark, and it's a little bit spooky for the Halloween season. There's some murders, there's some ghosts, possessions, and laughs. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. They announced the premiere was going to be this Sunday, Halloween, October 31st, at the BMO Theater. I don't remember how much tickets are. You can figure it out. You guys know how to use the internet, but I'll be there to see that. That's going to be a fun thing. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing come together. This was, I think it was written before COVID. Some of it was, I don't know when the whole thing was filmed. I saw them post that the premiere was coming up a couple of weeks ago, and I got a little butthurt because, I'd worked on it. I went to the table read. I helped, I gave some advice on kind of the structure of it. I don't know how crucial of my input was, but I saw the premiere date and they never filmed my scene yet, so I'm like, I guess I'm cut out of this thing. But nope. In team Hard Times / Hoveland, they don't like to finish things and then premiere them. They need to set a premiere date to give themselves a deadline. So I believe I was the last scene that they had to film, and that was a lot of fun. I'm only going to be in it for a couple of minutes, but I'm going to make them memorable. So I highly recommend that you come check this thing out. It's fun from script wise and what little bits of it that I've seen. And I don't know how close the final script is to what I read and what we did at the table read, but I think it's going to be better than Hard Times. So I'm really looking forward to that. And anyway, we're 17 minutes in. Let's take. So I'm going to talk about some other stuff. I wanted to talk about Jon Stewart, but let's play a song as a little bit of a palate cleanser before we take down Jon Stewart on St. John Forward Radio. What song are we going to play? I've got my playlist on shuffle. What do we got? Come on, Spotify, don't fail me now. New World by Ghostface Killah and Eamon? E-A-M-O-N? I don't know how to pronounce that. But anyway, St. John Forward Radio. If this part of the feed has been muted, it's because of copyright. Listen to Podbean.
Put the mic on. Yeah, ayo, feeling like outcast, slay the stink on ya. Brothers giving dap, trapping on the street corners. Bitches waving high in the next man's ride, cause she knows she gotta pay them bills, tricking on the side. And the kids seen so many stepfathers is alive, drinking all the Kool-Aid, fucking up the vibe. Man, there's so many parents just don't understand how to raise a child, educate them, teach them how to stand. And not to be a follower, people with like toddlers. When it's no love, the heart becomes more hollower. Then you wanna be alone, the mind becomes shallower. The weak ones hang themselves, don't let this life demolish her. We can dominate the world with a plan. Stand next to each other, then we hold hands. Brothers and sisters, hey young world, take it all with a grain of sand.
It's a deadly circumstance from simply getting by. It's a brainwashed strong man to keep your ill-advised, woo.
It make a smart man stupid and turn a rich man friendly. We got to man up, stand up, hands up, hands up, woo, woo.
See brothers get murdered over dice games. Bullets started to fly when the knights came. You got a bad chick in a nice chain. Be careful, them niggas right over there got nice aim. Catch you for a lot or a little bit. It really doesn't matter, cause the baby's gotta deal with it. Opioid epidemic so dead with no recollection. Body last found in the place where they people left them. The babies got it harder than ever. They calling them the internet babies. Microwave, cell phone, towers, fake foods, red meat makes the state of mind crazy. Police killing brothers like it's okay. It's just like a modern-day slavery. Everybody stand up, man up. Don't let these wild beasts break us down and put their hands on us.
It's a deadly circumstance from simply getting by. It's a brainwashed strong man to keep you ill-advised. Woo.
And make a smart man stupid and turn a rich man friendly. We got to man up, stand up, hands up, hands up. Ooh, ooh.
Save them children from the pride. Whole world. Show them nothing stops them for that same old vibe.
May God save that child from this world so far.
I want a new world.
A little bit of Ghostface Killa on St. John Forward Radio. I'm just killing time while I drag that to the bottom of my Spotify. Oh, and I didn't turn off the thing. Hang on. Video people, there's a lot of moving parts to this thing. So, as promised, wanted to talk about a little bit of John Stewart. Who's got a new show? Most people know Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. I was a pretty big fan of The Daily Show when I was in university in the early 2000s, in the George W. Bush years. This was when I would consider myself more of a bleeding heart liberal type. I thought The Daily Show was great. Now that I've shifted a little bit politically, I'm not sure if I go back and if I watch that same stuff that it would seem pompous. I think it would still hold up. I just felt like his intentions were good. I don't know if how I would take it from like my current perspective. And he's got a new show coming out. It's called The Problem with Jon Stewart, and this was like a dip in the toe back in the waters just to see, because, you know, I do not consider myself a left-leaning, I don't consider myself left or right. I'm a libertarian if I'm being polite, I'm an anarchist if I'm being real, but, you know, it depends on the topic. Whatever your issue is, some of them I'm going to have what would be considered the right-leaning opinion, and some of them I'm going to have a left-leaning opinion. The left-leaning stuff, I think I still agree in broad strokes with what they identify as a problem. What I find currently the kind of progressive end of the spectrum, they seem to be really bad at diagnosing why something is a problem or what we should do about it. So that's mainly where I part ways with former bleeding heart John, myself. I mean, but you know, Jon Stewart's been around, and I don't like what he created. The fallout from The Daily Show and the various offshoots of that have been not great. I really liked Stephen Colbert when he was doing the Colbert Report, and he was still funny. I haven't sat down and watched any of the late night shows, particularly not Colbert, but I've seen enough clips of Colbert has completely drank the Kool-Aid. There's a clip that was going around on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about, I should have this queued up, but just he did a bit with like dancing vaccines, and it was really corny. And like John Oliver, yuck. Samantha Bee, double yuck. Yeah, it's all very condescending. John Stewart, so, though, he's got I don't know, he's got the right kind of snark for this kind of thing, and until the part that I'm going to show you, I didn't think that I'd feel condescended to. I thought it was really funny. A few months ago, John Stewart went on Colbert, and there was that clip was going around where John Stewart, super edgy, made jokes about how the COVID probably came from that lab in Wuhan. This was kind of, I thought it was a funny bit. Colbert kind of saying that, like, oh, we're gonna cut this out, and seemingly trying to stop him from saying it. I'm not sure what the intention was, so I don't know what my opinion of with that. It made Colbert look like a weasel, but I don't know if that was the bit. I don't know if they discussed this ahead of time and Colbert was like being like the straight man, I guess. I don't know if that term applies in this case. But was kind of like, no, you gotta stop. And like, but that may have been like a, he just kind of had to, he had to be the company man. So I'm not, based on some of the other stuff that I've seen from Colbert lately, I'm making an assumption that he was genuinely trying to stop him from saying these shocking things. I don't know that, but you know, they're both comedians and they've known each other for a long time. So who knows? The whole thing could have been worked out. And I thought that people, for lack of a better term, I guess more right-leaning people, were kind of praising Jon Stewart for finally having the nerve to go against the narrative and boldly proclaim that the virus probably came from the lab in Wuhan. That would have been more brave if he had said it like a couple of months earlier. When people were still being like banned off YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff for daring to say that this thing might have come from a lab. It was a little bit too little too late. I appreciated the gesture. I don't feel like Jon Stewart was taking a risk by making that point when everybody, the whole world basically at that point was like, yeah, it probably came from the lab. That went from wild racist conspiracy theory to, yeah, well, probably, very quickly. Well, not, it took a while, but like the change happened very quickly. So I don't know. I don't think it was terribly brave to say that. I thought the way that it was put was quite funny. So Jon Stewart has a new show. I think it's out on Apple TV. It's called The Problem with Jon Stewart. I watched the first episode. It seems to be like he's taking a topic that he sees as like a problem, and he's deconstructing that. So that's the format of the show. So episode one, I enjoyed. It was mostly about how like veterans are just treated like garbage. A big chunk of it was talking about these burning pits that they have in like Afghanistan, where they just throw all their garbage and like human excrement and all kinds of stuff into these pits and just burn it, and like everybody there eventually gets cancer and whatever other crazy diseases, and they just the Veterans Affairs hospitals and the coverage, they basically, like, it takes a little while for symptoms to show up for this stuff, and it seemed, the way that he framed it, they seemed to be just kind of all right, we're done with you now, veterans. Too bad you're sick, but that's not our fault, and they're not really helping them out. I thought it was interesting. I had no idea about that situation. I don't know what his slant on it was, but the episode was compelling, and it made me want to learn more about it. I have not. I know one guy who is a veteran. He did not spend any time near the burning pits, but he's aware of people that have gotten sick. So episode two of The Problem with Jon Stewart was about freedom. And, you know how much that I love my lady Freedom. I don't know why I'm anthropomorphizing it. I don't know if Freedom is a lady or a man or a non-binary or something. Who knows? Freedom is non-gender specific. It's for everybody. I am not a religious person, but I am willing to concede that I think freedom is always my top priority. Every subject, every angle of life, and that is a quasi-religious belief, and I'm willing to own that. It's 9:30, so I'll just remind you that you are listening to St. John Forward Radio on local 107.3 FM. And we are about to watch a couple of clips. This is from like the beginning kind of desk monologue from the Freedom episode of John Stewart. I've got this split up into, this is all from the same segment. I've got it split up into like four different clips just because it was too big of a thing to upload into the StreamYard, and at least this lets me kind of comment on each chunk as we go. So let's just get to it. So the first clip, so and I will concede there is the humor in this, I think, is pretty good. There are some funny things. There's some funny things I cut out just to focus on the issue. The point that he's making is terrible. But again, this works better as comedy than any of his colleagues that I mentioned before. But anyway, here's the first clip.
Freedom is America's best trait. It is smoked meat in a muscle car on a cruise ship. So is there a catch?
Freedom is not free.
Oh, right. It's not free. Preserving freedom often takes courage and sacrifice. Or have you not spoken to your grandparents lately?
They are known today as America's greatest generation.
We had one purpose, and that was to win the war.
Whether it was the rationing of meat or gasoline or the cigarettes or alcohol or whatever.
Women were asked to give up their silk stockings so that they could be recycled for war purposes.
Sure, it's a sacrifice. Give away your best pots, you know. But it's war. You just did it.
No pots! No pans! When I was your age, I had to grill the cheese on the sidewalk! All to defeat Hitler. And now there's a new threat to our freedom, COVID-19! It has stolen our freedom to send our kids to school, to exhale in a Starbucks, to kiss the chef on the lips after a delicious meal. Oh, Carmine. Your eggplant rollatini moves me.
All right, so the end part about kissing the chef on the lips, that's a funny bit. What I take issue, first off, starting the whole thing off with a Reagan quote, ew. I don't know. Reagan is for, what little I know about Reagan is not good, and that seemed to be the beginning of like the worst of what we consider to be like the hardcore, like butt into your life conservative end of things. Was very I think this was the beginning of kind of the evangelical Christian kind of takeover of the Republican Party, as far as I understand it. So the fact that John Stewart, I assume, is not a fan of Reagan. That's some, most left-leaning people are not. So to start out with, the freedom isn't free is such a lame government slogan. And it goes to this whole thing where it just, like, I don't know, just the whole concept is just straight up propaganda, and it's used to justify, like, what it's doing is it's taking, it's trying to play both sides. It's telling you freedom is great and we love it and it's awesome, and but we can't just let you do what you want. You have to do all this stuff. It's just kind of, it's not that there is no such thing as, you know, accountability or personal whatever, but that whole freedom isn't free thing is nonsense. Just think of all the things that you are free to do in your day. Most people are free to choose who they content. You don't get to pick who you don't just go to a crowd and be like, I'll take that one if you want to pick a romantic partner. But, you know, most people get to choose whether or not they stay in that relationship. And, you know, it does take work to build on relationships. And, you know, it is hard work, but it's voluntary work. And it's to an end that both people give consent to, hopefully. As soon as you take out the consent and it becomes a you have to do this thing, then it's no longer freedom, and it tends to get uglier. I also don't like the constant, hey, remember when we defeated Hitler? Yeah, that was a bad guy, and we had to do some things to make that happen. So, I mean, that just... The Hitler in the World War II just gives so much justification for every single bad thing that a government wants to impose on people, like, no matter what the topic is. I mean, and, you know, the other side, there are people who are problematically and inflammatorily comparing certain rules to certain other periods in time, and people say that that's a no-no thing you're not supposed to talk about. But if it's making the good point where it's like, hey, you should follow the rules because, hey, remember when we all came together and fought Hitler? That's a fine comparison to make. And I think it's kind of gross just trotting out these old timers from the Greatest Generation talking about, yeah, we had to sacrifice our pots and our pans, and the ladies had to give up their nylons. I don't know. I would like to know more about the circumstances of that. From the clip, it sounds like it was voluntary. And that's a whole different thing. If the government comes, or anybody comes and says, hey, we've got this really bad guy doing bad things over in Germany, and if we want to defeat this guy, we want you to please help us out and contribute whatever you can, and people decide, yes, this is a bad thing and I want to do whatever I can to help, that's fine. I would like to know more about if you are donating your pots and pans and your silk lining, whatever, leggings or whatever, pantyhose to the war effort, what are they doing with that? And did it actually help fight Hitler? Maybe. That seems, but anyway, from the clips, it sounds like that's how it was sold, and people voluntarily said, yeah, you know what, we're all going to come together and I'm going to make this sacrifice. And that's not the same as what's happening now. Nobody is saying, hey, we've got this really bad threat, we would like you to do this. Maybe they did a little bit at the beginning, but you're not really asking a question if the answer is not allowed to be no. If it's, hey, we'd really like, this is a really bad thing and this is what you can do to help, and people are like, yeah, I don't know about that. And then you're like, okay, well, then it's against the law, so you have to. That's not the same thing. So that's kind of gross. And, I mean, they are comparing this to World War II, which, again, I'm not super 100% up on the history. I follow a lot of people that are pacifists, and I don't know enough about it to argue one way or another. If you know better, then I'd be happy to hear you out. But my understanding is that if the Americans in particular never intervened in World War I, and just let that kind of be a stalemate and burn itself out, World War II would not have happened. So, again, this is another thing where a government action creates a problem, and then we've got to do new government actions to solve the problem that was created, and the new thing creates a new problem. It's just a never-ending domino, and that's kind of yucky. Clip number two.
And so, once again, to protect freedom, Americans must rise up together, making the individual sacrifices like wearing a mask to preserve the greater good of this land that God has granted.
I won't be wearing my mask.
I'm sorry, Patriot says what?
I won't wear a mask.
Why?
I need you to tell me, how do I play a saxophone and sing with a mask on? I'll let you think about that.
yeah, I can see how that's, it's not gonna work. Oh, wait.
So, saxophone bit, funny. We're not going to see the whole thing. There's a whole thing where he plays the whole saxophone thing, and there's some jokes there that I've cut out. What I don't like in this is, well, first off, we're like, freedom requires courage and sacrifice. I'm like, does it? Or you could just leave people be alone. He kind of sets up this false thing where he's just taking for granted that COVID is bad, which I agree with, it is. He is making the assumption that wearing a mask stops COVID. He's just taking that as a, we don't even ask that question. I would argue against that. I've in past episodes, you can go back through the YouTube channel. I don't remember exactly which episode it was, but I spent an episode of this show where I went through as many of the actual scientific studies on masks that are being cited as like, hey, we should do this. And I found the information to not be compelling. And this was, and these articles were shared to me by people that were trying to convince me that masks are amazing. If you just read the abstract, which I don't know who's writing these abstracts, like just the paragraph at the beginning of a scientific study, kind of summarizing what the deal is with the study, they say like, yeah, masks are they're better, they're pretty good, but then if you go into the studies. It turns out that, I mean, N95 masks, from what I've read, are pretty good and do a pretty good job at blocking COVID. If you have a beard, like myself, you don't really get the seal around the edge, less so. The little blue medical masks don't do anything. Cloth masks, absolutely, that's trying to keep a mosquito out of your yard with a chain link fence. As far as I have read, if you've got better information than that, send it along. So can we try to approach this topic? Just if we're having a thought experiment, he is deciding masks are for sure effective. And if they are for sure effective, if you're deciding not to, that's selfish and you're not courageous and you're not doing the sacrifice for the greater good, blah, blah, blah. What if masks don't do anything? What if they don't? That's the conclusion that I've drawn from reading the legit science on it. There's plenty of data. We've been going through this for almost 2 years now. We have data on which places had masks and which places didn't. As far as I know, there is no correlation between wearing masks and better results for COVID. When you read the research, if you can get past that beginning paragraph, it turns out when they say that masks are effective, they mean in very specific circumstances and only barely a little bit effective. Some of the studies, it's like a very tiny percentage difference that it makes, and even that's within like the margin of error. These aren't the actual numbers, but just to illustrate a point, if they say that masks showed a 3% increase in better outcomes, and there's like a plus or minus 5% error, which happens in science, then you're not telling me anything. From what I have read, wearing a mask accomplishes absolutely nothing unless it's a well-fitted N95 mask and you're not touching it and you're not re-wearing it and it's like a fresh one and it's well-fitted to your face and there's a good seal. Anything less than that, from what I have read, is absolutely useless. But again, that's something, it seems intuitive that, you know, stuff comes out. It probably cuts down on some of the spit that's flying out, but COVID is airborne. If COVID can be in the air and air passes through your mask, COVID's getting through your mask. And from what I understand, there's plenty of places that had lots of masks and good results and lots of masks and bad results. It's all over the place. There does not seem to be any correlation. It seems intuitive that this would be better than not wearing a mask. I would have thought so too, but that's not what the data bears out. And that's another thing. If we cared about freedom, then we should make the case to be like, hey, this is exactly why you should wear a mask, and this is the consequence if you don't. And if it was a slam dunk, putting an old t-shirt on your face kills COVID flat. I mean, well, first off, there's a very, very high percentage of people that wear masks all the time, especially when it's been mandated. And the results don't bear that out. It's something that you can do that makes you feel like you're accomplishing something. But from what I understand, not so much. And it's annoying, at the very least. So from my perspective, they don't work, and it's annoying. I don't want to put one on. I will, because I don't want to pick a fight and antagonize anybody that's just doing their job. It sucks having to wear one. Anybody that pretends otherwise is lying. And doesn't seem to accomplish anything. So why is this being imposed on us? And why is this so? This is necessary for our freedom. It doesn't work. It's being forced on people. It's not freedom. Clip 3.
So freedom isn't free, but apparently wearing a mask is too steep a price. They want to haggle a little bit. Well, that's all right. We have a vaccine whose efficacy will also preserve the foundation of this great nation. So as George Washington did with smallpox, so shall we.
I will not be taking the vaccine.
I won't get myself vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the COVID vaccine.
What the fuck? I thought we all agreed just a second ago that freedom isn't free, and patriots sacrifice to preserve that freedom. So why not?
I'm an American. I have the freedom to decide if I'm going to take a vaccine or not.
Freedom to choose.
Because they believe in freedom, and forcing people to wear take vaccines is against freedom.
I think you were evicted from your apartment as well. I don't know if you saw that.
So that's another trick that gets played, where they take the dumbest possible people and they argue with them. Again, first off, they're assuming that's too steep of a price. That's assuming that if you pay the price and wear the mask, that you get your freedom back, which is just abjectly false. And then the vaccine thing, which again, I've taken mine. I made the personal decision that I want to be less likely to go in the hospital when I took it. A lot of the information on it is not great. I don't think that you're getting like 5G brainwashing and stuff. But it's not fair to prop up they're taking clips from like Newsmax and the One News Network, and there's some stuff from Fox. They're not sitting down. There are intelligent people that are against all of this stuff too, but nobody talks to them on these shows. They pick up the worst straw man that they can find, and they say, look at this dummy. He's not willing to pay the price to preserve the foundation of our society. Which the vaccine is not preserving the foundation of society. People are still getting sick. On an individual basis, you want to get less likely to be sick, but you know, there's lots of information about how effective these were. They were being really dodgy about how long the vaccines would last and how good it is, and they're pretending like natural immunity for people that got COVID isn't real. It's just, and now that they're getting some traction on boosters, now they're coming out and saying, yeah, well, 6 months. They weren't saying that when I got it. If right out the gate they're saying this, you can still spread it, you can still catch it, you can still be in the hospital, and it's only going to last you 6 months, there'd be even fewer people that got it, and I don't blame them. I don't know. I decided to get it. It wasn't based on all of the terrible propaganda that's been out there. I did my own research, and you know, I'm not an epidemiologist, but from what I found, I decided that the benefits outweighed the risks for me, but that was my decision. Anyway, we've got one more clip.
All right. So you won't do it for freedom because your freedom. This country is great because we have freedom, but I warn you, freedom isn't free. It requires sacrifice, which I don't have to make because of the freedom you sacrifice. Fuck! These people's flag should be a Gadsden snake sucking its own dick. By the way, I do not know if that is biologically accurate. That's the kind of thing that really wets my reed. More saxophone humor. And thus the problem with freedom. Individual freedom requires collective action. And a collective is a group. But if every sacrifice for the group is viewed as oppression, then we lose the ability to preserve your individual freedom. So I ask you again, masks, vaccines, please.
The Hitler of the Golden State, Gavin Newsom, gives the orders, wear a mask, stay inside, don't travel.
Socialist Democrat Gestapo going door to door, house by house, trying to stick syringes in people's arms.
You're forcing people to wear masks. They were forced to wear a star.
Using a Sharpie to brand students with a number to distinguish the unvaccinated from the vaccinated. A prom should never inspire images in my mind of Auschwitz.
Agreed. Auschwitz is a terrible prom theme.
Again, solid joke at the end of there. The point is ridiculous, though. Every totalitarian government that imposed some sort of nonsense on its people, every single one of them was saying this is a collective action for the greater good and you need to make this sacrifice. Every single bad thing that's ever been imposed on people has been under the guise of this is for the greater good. And the problem is, he's making the assumption that if only we did the things, then freedom would follow from that. If only everybody wore their masks and got their vaccines, then there'd be no more COVID. Where is that happening? Every step of the way, every single thing that they've asked us to do, we do it for a little while, and then it turns out that it's not accomplishing anything. And maybe we're wrong, and these people just need to make a better case. But in a free society, if you want people to do take some action that they don't like, you need to sell them on it. So I feel like everybody was ready to make those kind of courageous sacrifices that he's talking about in the early days of the pandemic, before anybody knew anything. We were told 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Nobody wants to shut down the world for 2 weeks. That seemed like an insane thing to do. 2 weeks of everybody staying home and closing down all non-essential businesses, that seemed like an insane thing. But most people, myself included, we were, okay, that makes sense. We see there's dead bodies piling up in the streets in Italy. It made sense. If this thing burns itself out in 2 weeks, if everybody stays home for 2 weeks, then it should work. But it didn't work. And every time something didn't work, they're not like, oh, whoops, that didn't work. Oh, washing groceries, that didn't work. Staying home for 2 weeks, that didn't work. They either double down, they blame it on, oh, God, these people are having a protest because they want to get haircuts. Again, they bring up the worst, dumbest people. Who, you know, by the way, Brian last week, it wasn't on the show, but he posts a lot of kind of snarky stuff along these lines on his Facebook. I don't love it, but, you know, I love Brian. Doesn't matter if he's got silly opinions on some things. But when he posts stuff like that, he says, you know, I don't mean John Forward. I know that you do a lot of reading and you kind of know what you're talking about and you're very logical. So I take that stuff personally because I feel like I'm on the same team as some of these dummies that you see in these clips. But for somebody that has looked into this a lot, and I've been talking about it, and I've been constantly reading stuff and listening to stuff, and to varying degrees. I don't agree with all of it, and, you know, I mix it up. I look at all sides of this as much as I possibly can. The dummies that you want to make fun of and say that these people are dumb and they're stupid anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers or whatever, the 5G, Bill Gates, New World Order type people, there is some crazy in there. There's definitely some conspiracy theory stuff. There's definitely some people that are looking at dubious sources. But for somebody who is not drinking the Kool-Aid with this stuff, those people are more right than the people that are 100% on board with all the rules, because they haven't worked one step of the way. Every single prediction that governments and like public health has decided has not worked. Every single step of the way it has failed, and they just double down. They're like, well, we need to do it harder. Or, well, yeah, you know, everybody's wearing masks except for these five people over here. I don't know what our vaccination rate is. It's in the mid 80s, which is crazy high. One of the highest vaccination rates in the world. And our cases are more than they were when there was a 0% vaccination rate. So all these, every step of the way, stay home for 2 weeks and we'll be through this. Social distancing and we'll be through this. Wear your masks and we'll be through this. Wash your hands, we'll be through this. Plexiglass barriers and we'll be through this. And arrow stickers on the floor at the grocery store and we'll be through this. It's just not happening. And if we're going to make that sacrifice for nothing, then I don't want to. Most other people don't want to. The whole thing sucks. And this whole line of reasoning that we're going to somehow comply our way out of tyranny is ridiculous. It has never happened in the history of the world. If there are bad things being imposed on a population by the people in charge, point me to a circumstance where everybody did what they were supposed to do and then everything went back to normal. Do you remember 9/11 when they had all the airport rules and the TSA? I don't know if you've flown through America anytime recently, but people are still taking their shoes off and going through the whole security theater of the TSA. That never got rolled back. They found that that doesn't work. They do tests and find that the TSA doesn't even catch stuff when it gets through. There's been no terrorist attacks via airplanes, but people have done tests and got stuff through TSA. It doesn't work. It's annoying, and it's a gigantic waste of resources. And that was all in the name of freedom 20 years ago, and we've still got it because everybody just rolled over and be like, well, we don't want terrorists. So that's what it is now. We don't want COVID, so we'll do whatever you told us, because this is apparently, it's okay to say that COVID is the same as Hitler and we need to defeat it by wearing our masks. I don't know. It's just silly. Anyway, this has been St. John Forward Radio. My name is John Forward. This is every Monday night on Local F, Local 107.3 FM. It's on John Forward Comedy YouTube and Facebook, johnforward.podbean.com. All of the stuff. Good night.